Yes, yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm joined by Milan Davile. How are you doing, Milan?
Very well. Thank you, Job. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Today we're going to talk about the Eredivisie team of the season and maybe a bit of a preview on the Dutch national team going into the Euros. So should we start off with the team of the season? Goalkeeping spot. Who's your goalkeeper of the team season in the Eredivisie this season?
My goalkeeper is Remco Pasveer from Vitesse. I think he had a very good season, played a lot of games. I think Justin Bijlo played a very good season as well. He's in a really good form, but he played less games. So my pick is Remco Pasveer from Vitesse. Yes, definitely. What about you?
I've gone for Akoya, the Sparta goalkeeper. I think he's 21 years of age. Came from Borussia Dusseldorf, the youth academy, and kept 10 clean sheets this season. But yeah, I can agree with you. If we had to make one team, I think Remco Pasveer is a solid pick at age 37. He's been very good this season.
And deserved a transfer to Ajax this season as well. So I think that shows how good his season was. With his age, a transfer to Ajax. Well done.
I mean, Ajax are buying 5 goalkeepers, haven't they? They've got the new Ahead Eagles goalkeeper, Pasveer, Stekelenburg, Onana, but he will probably leave. And who else? I'm missing one. Or is that 4? It's 4. Jay Grote?
Scherpen.
Scherpen. Fifth. 5 goalkeepers.
Scherpen's going to Brighton.
Brighton. Okay, well, right back. Who do you have for real right back position?
My right back. If I would have to choose like quality, I would probably say Dumfries, but I don't like him. I don't like the way he plays and not a big fan of PSV. So my pick would be Milan van Ewijk from ADO, The Hague. Had a very good season. I played with him in the youth. So I think he relegated with ADO, but he deserved a transfer to Heerenveen. So Milan van Ewijk is my pick, the right back.
Did you also play with Geertruida?
I played against Geertruida. He played for Sparta.
At the time?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I've gone for Geertruida. 5 goals, 2 assists, 9 clean sheets. I mean, he had a good season. He's a very mediocre right back, I think. Lacks in the attacking crossing department, as you would expect from a right back in this day and age. Very solid. I think Van Ewijk is also a very quick right back who played very well for Den Haag. I don't have the statistics here. Right backs that go to Heerenveen are quite good normally. So Van Ewijk is in the team. Obviously got relegated, but that's not based on one player, obviously. Then 2 centre-backs. I went for Blind. I think you did as well.
Actually not.
No.
Did you go for? Because of his injury. And I mean, he's one of my favourite players for sure. But I was going for a surprise this time. I was going for Senesi.
Senesi?
Yes.
I didn't go for Senesi.
I figure Ajax fan, I like Senesi as a player. He's strong, he's smart. I mean, Blind is better in my opinion. But I think Senesi has a good season. And I think maybe this year or after, maybe next year, he will make a transfer. Yeah.
Very good. Obviously, he scored the goal of the season, didn't he, against Fortuna Sittard? In my opinion, that's a volley.
Remember? Yes.
Very.
The bicycle kick.
Oh, the bicycle kick. My man scored many fantastic goals. Yeah, exactly. But I went for Blind. I mean, he's very vital to Ajax's build-up play. I mean, when he got injured, like you said, Ajax's defense and the build-up play was very poor, lacking a little bit of that creativity from the back. I think he will be very good for the Netherlands if they play the 5 at the back formation. There are obviously 2 centre backs. So I went for Duki from Vitesse. Who did you go for?
Bazur from Vitesse. two centre backs from Vitesse.
Yes. Who would you say was better this season? I think Duki was good.
I think Duki is more of a defender and Bazur is more of a playmaker from behind. So I think next to Senesi, who's like a pure defender. You have Bazur, who is all, he's basically a midfielder, and he has good passing, dribbling into the midfield. He's strong. I think very good season, definitely.
Yeah, it's a very interesting one as well, because obviously Bazur has had a rough couple of years, obviously joined Ajax in the youth academy, then made a transfer to, I think it was Wolfsburg. And then after that, he went to Porto and it didn't really work out. But now with the new trainer or coach, Lech from Vitesse, he's really did very well for them. So, I could say Bazur, especially because he's not necessarily centre-back, is he? He's more of a centre-mid, like you said, dribbling into the midfield and giving so much freedom for centre-back.
Yeah, it's interesting to see in this day of age that normally teams play with high wing-backs or full-backs, and Vitesse just changing the game, playing with a centre-back, going into midfield like the old days. Really interesting to see.
Maybe Frank, if you're listening, get that done. anyways, left back, I don't want to say this guy's name, but he's been okay, I suppose. Wijndal, I don't know who you had.
I was in doubt between Wijndal and Max on PSV, but I went for Max. So
I think Max has been good, but he haven't seen the best yet.
I think. Not the entire season, I think. But
I think Wijndal's also slightly overrated. 6 assists and 1 goal, and all of a sudden you're like the best.
I think. What are, do you have Max statistics?
We can look them up quickly if you.
I think very very good in the attack, very creative. I think he has as many assists as Wijndal, but I'm not sure. Very good passing technique, crosses. He's quick. He even played some minutes for the German national team, I think, or he got a call up. So definitely good season for him. I don't really like the PSV players, but if I have to pick one, 8 assists, 5 goals. Yeah.
Yeah, that's 31, actually
31 games. So
way better than Wijndal, actually.
Really good.
I think Wijndal is just overrated by the Dutch media. So, you know, you're right. Max has had a better season. And then in the mid section of the season, he's been very poor. You know, he takes free kicks and penalties, I think, as well. So taking that into consideration, he gets maybe a few set pieces, assists and goals, but still very solid. Then moving on to the centre mids. Who's your first pick from the centre mid spot?
My pick is Koopmeiners from AZ. Captain, young, creative, great passer. He's very smart. I like the way he plays. He always looks around his shoulder. He always is coaching his teammates. You can hear that now without fans in the stadium. He's a real leader despite his young age, and very creative. I really like him. Yeah.
And who else? Who are your other two picks?
My other two picks, I have Davy Klaassen, the attacking midfielder. And the other one, I'm going to have to think about the other one for a bit.
So I went for Ryan Gravenberch, who's just been sensational this season. I think he's got so much potential. And already, you know, starting for the Dutch national team, getting caps, left, right and center, 3 goals and 6 assists. You know, not the most impressive stats, but for a 19-year-old, being a box-to-box player reminds me a bit of Pogba, you know, just up and down, defensively very solid as well. I would say he is definitely one of the players that I would have in the team of the season centre mid. Then I went for an under-23 from the Dutch national team, Haroui from Sparta.
Oh, yeah.
I think Sparta had a very good season, finishing 8th, and he was vital to this. He's a bit similar to Gravenberch, also box-to-box, 6 goals, 3 assists, and also very good defensively. And then I went for Tanana instead of Klaassen, because Tanana had 7 goals and 9 assists for Vitesse, who finished 3rd or 4th this season. Vitesse were just a fun team to watch, even though they beat us, Feyenoord.
I think Tanana is a good choice. Like, my team would be very attacking if I put him in as well. But it's more fun with Tanana and Klaassen in one team than... Then if I would put Gravenberch there. You know what, I'm going to do it. Tanane and Klaassen. Koopmeiners is a defensive midfielder and 2 attacking midfielders.
Why not? I mean, they're not really going to play. Anyways, then moving on to the right wing, striker and left wing. I think this one is three players that are just locked in. I don't think you can agree or disagree. I think it's Berghuis, Jakomakis and Tadic.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, Berghuis 18 goals this season, 14 assists. I mean, the only reason why Feyenoord didn't get relegated this season is because of this man, Giacomakis, who, quick fun fact, is the first top goal scorer in the Eredivisie to get relegated.
Yeah.
Yeah, quick fun fact. And Tadic, who's always very good and a very good leader as well, compared to Berghuis, who just kicks the shit out of players if it doesn't go his way, which is sad to see, isn't it? But Tadic, 14 goals. 18 assists.
Yeah, crazy stats.
Yeah, very good Serbian left winger. Bit cocky.
Yeah.
With his interview, I could have gone to Barcelona, this and that, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess playing against him is a nightmare. He's very annoying. He's very strong. He's a little bit of, yeah, he's cocky. It's true. But he's, when you play with him, I think he's a real leader. He's always there. He's always sharp. And his stats don't lie, so.
Yeah, I mean, very solid indeed. Now, that's our team of the season. So, to run you through, I think we went for Pasveer in goal, centre-backs Bazur and Senesi. We'll get some foreign players in. the left-back was Philipp Max from PSV, who was unlucky not to get a call-up, I think, for the German national team. And then right-back was Van Ewijk.
Who was your right-back again?
Geertruida. And then we had the three midfielders being Gravenberg for me, Harui, and also
Tanana.
And then you had
Koop Meiners, Tanana, and Klaassen.
Very attacking.
Yeah, very attacking.
And then obviously we just spoke about the three forwards who have really been very good. And I've been surprised with Giacomakis, just not to, you know, he came from, I think, PAOK or someone somewhere in Greece, and yeah, I think for under a mil, he just scored 26 goals. That's pretty insane.
Imagine how good he actually is.
Yeah.
Being the first goal scorer, top goal scorer to relegate.
Yeah, I know. And okay, so if you look at this list, who are the players? Because we're not obviously talking about Premier League sides with players that can move on, but there are some players that could make transfers this summer. Who do you think are the players, like Giacomakis to start off with? Which team do you think is suitable for him?
Giacomakis, I don't know. I think difficult to see where he can play. It's just he might be a one season wonder. Who knows? But I think if I would be any team in like Germany or France or even Premier League, maybe why not just buy him? He's cheap. He scored a lot of goals. Maybe he is as good as he shows this year. So, but any club, I don't know.
No, I mean, I was more thinking towards, you know, the Subtop in the Eredivisie with like the likes of Sparta taking a gamble on this guy. Who else? Groningen, maybe. You know, this guy can score goals. I mean, it's only one season, you are correct. But he scored 26 goals for a team that was utter shit, right? So, and there weren't just tap-ins, right? He made some nice chip goals. I think he scored four against Vitesse as well. So, yeah, I think if you can pick him up for like maybe even Feyenoord, you know.
Why not
just take a gamble? It's not that much money. I mean, if you're paying 1 mil to hire or to loan Gustil, then why not pay a mil for someone that scored 26 goals and got one assist last season?
I would be surprised if he plays in Eredivisie next year.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he can? I mean, he's got no...
I'm not sure he can, but I mean, why would you not buy him if you were a team in Bundesliga, for example?
Maybe Chelsea.
Who knows if they come by Haaland.
The next Haaland. Giacomakis, he's also very young. I think he's age 23, if I'm not mistaken. Might be. I think he's 23. He's not old. Or 26.
I thought he was 26. But I'm not sure either, so.
Yeah, no, I can't spell his name, so.
Who else might make a transfer?
He is 26, so he's not 23.
26. Okay,
but he's
still
in his
young.
Prime. He's in his prime.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in his prime years, eh?
And he's showing.
But to come back to your question, I think I would like Gravenberg to stay at Ajax two more seasons, maybe one more.
At least one more.
Yeah. I don't think he's ready for, you know, the top just yet. I think he's got potential. I think Tanana could make a transfer.
Yeah.
Who's 27, I think, now. But, I mean, he's a difficult player, just like Bazur. You know, he's been talked about in the Dutch media a lot this season.
Always trouble in the dressing room.
But he's so creative and he's such a joy to watch as well. So
both of them. But they're always
fighting
always.
With teammates or, you know, fighting with the coach.
And there's always news about those guys, yeah. stuff. But I think they will transfer this season.
Where would you think that Tanana would suit? Maybe like the top of the Eredivisie, PSV.
PSV maybe depends. Like if Götze, for example, stays, then I don't think they'll buy him. But who knows? Like
that full gas football. Yeah. They're playing at PSV.
I don't know if it will fit Tanana. I mean, he must listen to the coach. And we all saw this year that if you don't listen to him, you're in trouble in PSV. We saw it with Iotaren.
A similar player, to be fair.
But yeah, like same style, but also maybe same character. You don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a great fit. And I don't see Tanana going anywhere else in the Netherlands.
Maybe AZ, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be interesting or final, but I don't know. It's Arne Slot, so it's going to be... And we already signed Till as the attacking centre-mid option.
Yeah.
But just like some other players, you know, he's gone to Saint-Étienne, I think it was Stade de Rennes. No, Saint-Étienne.
Yeah, yeah.
And failed and came back. But he's a very good player as well. I just want to mention Rai Vloed as well from Heracles. Had a very good season. I think 10 goals and a few assists. But again, one of those players that doesn't have the statistics to you know, from the past to back up his recent form, like Giacomakis and Tanana have. It's very similar as well, just like one goal a season. And then all of a sudden doing very well. So I don't know if anyone is going to take a gamble on these players. But I think that Tanana could definitely go somewhere else. But at the same time, if he's performing this well for Vitesse, then why not stay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, why would you leave if you're having like the best, you're playing the best football?
Yeah, I mean, Vitesse has got a nice team and they have a good coach.
They're playing Europa League, I think, Conference League next season as well, if they get through the qualifications. Then I think Haroui would be a very good one for Feyenoord, personally.
Definitely.
I think somebody at Feyenoord needs to fucking sign this guy. It's irritating now that we haven't been linked with this dude. It's a bit like Dumfries, you know. It's like 500 meters away from each stadium, but you know, you can't scout. 6 goals, 3 assists, like I said, and he's solid defensively as well. I mean, he was a joy to watch against France in the under-21s the other day. I think Haroui will be a good fit for Feyenoord. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely agree. He's strong, he's smart, creative. I think he was the one of the best, maybe the best player in Sparta this year.
I think
and so young, so
yeah. And you know, he's waited, just like Gravenberg probably should, just waiting for the right moment till you've established yourself as the best player at your club to then go and move on, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is very important before you leave.
Yeah, but if I were any club in the Eredivisie, I would definitely try to buy him. If you don't need him, you don't need him, but he's good. He plays for Sparta. There are many clubs in Eredivisie that are better than Sparta.
Whoa.
Not this year.
Seven.
But like,
seven others.
Yeah, but I mean, are they going to do that again next year?
Maybe.
But it doesn't happen very often.
No, it's the first time since like 19, whatever, that they finished their eighth.
So why not, for example, AZ or FC Utrecht or some other team?
Yeah, he was linked with Groningen last season for 4 million, but didn't go through eventually. Fortunately enough, I think you can now sign him for like contract is running out 2022, I think. The next season, yeah. So you can pick him up for like 5 mil. Why not? He's still young.
I would do it.
He's 21 or 20. So, yeah.
It's not a risk.
No, it's 5 mil is nothing to some clubs like Ajax. Well, I don't think he's good enough for Ajax, but you know, most teams should sign him, especially like PSV, Feyenoord, and AZ.
Yeah, but I'm sure if you'll buy him, you'll sell him for more.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely an investment. Then Berghuis, who has some dodgy thing in his contract, can leave it for 4 million euros this summer, or leave on a free next summer. It doesn't look like he's going to stay, does it, Milan?
No, and if I were him, I would not stay either. So he's too good. He's been the best player of Feyenoord for like 3 years now.
The Eredivisie for 3 years.
Yeah, maybe even the Eredivisie. Look at his statistics. Yeah. And he's so cheap now. He knows it. The other clubs know it. So I think I would be very surprised if he plays at Feyenoord next year. I think maybe even Ajax or PSV will try to buy him. I think he goes somewhere else, abroad. Germany or maybe I don't know, maybe even Spain. Why not?
Yeah,
he failed in England, but I think he's better now.
100%.
So
it's one of those players that takes a little bit longer to do well. Like Bruno Fernandes, 28, finally, you know, playing for Manchester United, for a big club. So it doesn't mean that if you failed in the past when you were young, you're going to fail again when you're older, because you've got so much more experience.
It happened to so many players.
And if he has a good Euros, then I think there will be a lot of clubs. I think there should be plenty of clubs like Sevilla, Wolfsburg, PSV, Ajax as well. I think would be good signings for them. Bilbao, or even, those kind of teams, I think will be very solid. But again, I don't think England is the right place. I mean, you look at Ziyech.
I agree.
I think Berghuis is a little quicker on the wing, but still, you know, he's more from the coming in from the right, and that's where he's really creative. But you know, if you sit and you know, he wants the ball at his feet, just like Ziyech does, but you know, can't really make the play.
I think he can show his creativity more in Spain or in Germany, for example. Maybe Italy, I don't know.
Maybe Italy, maybe like a Roma, for example, would be good, or an AC Milan, maybe. Since where is it? Çalhanoğlu might be leaving, which would be a good replacement for him. Then Tadic is obviously staying. I wouldn't expect him to leave. Gravenberg should stay.
Yeah.
Wijndal would be...
He's going to Ajax probably.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. If they sell Tagliafico, then Ajax will try to buy him. Tadic already mentioned it in a podcast. Wijndal has said it himself. I'm pretty sure... I'm confident that Ajax will try to buy him. How expensive would he be? No, Ajax will sell Tagliafico, and then they buy him for more or less the same.
Oh, I think 20.
And he's
mid,
young.
20 mil.
20.
Yeah. I think it's AZ, and you don't want to.
Well,
seen
if he's 20 mil, I wouldn't buy him.
No,
I think that's too much.
That's too much. Yes. But
10. I would say 10, 12 million.
I think his market value. Let's look up his market value according to Transfermarkt.
Now 20 mil is too much, but I think Tagliafico will transfer to like Premier League.
His market value is 17.5 mil.
Well, that's quite expensive. I don't think he's worth it. But.
No, he's a bit overhyped, I would say.
I think he will make a transfer this year.
Tagliafico?
Especially if he plays at Euros.
Yeah.
Which he probably will.
Yes, as the standout left back. But Tagliafico is obviously 22 mil. Had a really bad season. One goal, three assists.
He was solid in defending, but he was really lacking in attacking. Which in the past years, he was quite good in attack as well. But this year, he was a little bit less, but still a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Mostly because of his how aggressive he is. You know,
I don't
the
like
emotion
him.
He puts
like
in his game. Yeah, yeah, no, I think if you play against him, same as with Tadic, if you play against Tagliafico, you probably don't like him.
No.
But if you're a fan of Ajax, you do.
And then one last one before we move on quickly to the Netherlands. Iatara is obviously one of the players that has been, you know, on and off with the coach. Do you think that? You know, I'm going to put it out there. Feyenoord should sign him. What do you think? 5 mil? His contract runs out next season?
If they can, then they should definitely sign him.
If Berghuis leaves?
Yeah, he can play on Berghuis position. I think he doesn't really have a lot of perspective at PSV. Yeah. And if no one else comes for him, then Feyenoord might have a chance.
I think Ajax are also interested.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably cheap.
Very cheap.
Very good. And I don't think PSV want him to stay. Well, the club want him to stay.
The club does, but the trainer doesn't.
Yeah.
The coach. The coach is not a big fan of his work ethic this season. Even though he's had under Van Bommel, he's been very solid. And like I said, I think if you can get him for like 5...
He was carrying the team when he was 18.
Yeah. It was talked about like he was going to the Euros and now he's, you know, not even in the under-21s, which again is a bit surprising. Because you should give this guy, you know, some...
Yeah, if he doesn't play.
Yeah, you need to give him some, you know, motivation. especially when you're, you know, you've done all the, you know, the presentation, like he chose for the Netherlands, this and that, making it a big deal, and then to just be like, okay, well, you're not selected, okay, fine, just rot, you know. It's a bit of a strange one.
I think he's one of the greatest talents of Dutch football. I think so. Like,
yeah, with Gravenberg.
Yeah, he's. I think if he plays, then he can get a team in a spot in the Dutch team, like this, like very quickly.
Especially with, you know, maybe his even position. Next season or the season after, with Berghuis. You know, we're not stacked in the right wing.
Yeah, exactly.
And could definitely be a good fit. Now, moving on to the Dutch national team, I want to get your first reactions on the squad. Obviously, Silissa has departed, or has been due to COVID. But your thoughts on the goalkeeper selection? I think it's Bizot, Stekelenburg, and
Krul.
Who would you pick?
My pick would be Stekelenburg. I haven't seen much of Krul because I don't really watch. I think he plays for Norwich City, right?
The championship.
Championship, yeah. I don't really watch that a lot. And last time he played against Turkey, he was so bad. He was so slow. And Stekelenburg has had a very solid season. He's better than Bizot, so that just leaves him. Of course, there are arguments. Why not call up Bijlo from Feyenoord? I think...
Still possible.
It's still possible.
Since you got knocked out.
Yeah. If you don't play him, then it makes sense to put him with the Dutch under 21. But at the same time, why not call him up? It's good for his experience.
Yeah, especially now.
And he's in great form. But I think my pick would be Stekelenburg.
I think you should definitely now. I think the Boer. I don't know if he. I mean, you can't swap goalkeepers due to COVID and injuries. I think it is this season. So I think he could have waited. I know that the squad list was supposed to be released. Today or something, yeah, or yesterday. But if you waited for a little bit and you were like, okay, well, we're not going to select Silissa, and you already know that, then you could have just, you know, been like, okay, well, we're picking Bijlo just in case if he gets knocked out, you can get him in, get him that experience, because otherwise you're going to, you know, Qatar World Cup is coming up next winter. And you're just going to be like, well, he hasn't played. On the big stage yet. And then it's just going to be excuses after excuse, like this summer. But I would say Stekelenburg is the number one, especially because Krul, I mean, we just looked at the stats before we started recording, very solid. I think like 18 clean sheets, but again, you're playing at the highest level.
It's quite impressive.
It's similar to Stekelenburg. You're obviously playing for the champions in the division. So you're not going to face a lot of shots on target. You're not going to, you know, concede a lot of goals because you've got the best defense. Or one of the best defenses, but Stekelenburg, you know, has got that experience just a little bit more. Obviously, played in the World Cup final, and even though he's like 40 or 37, whatever, he's still solid, surprising everyone actually. Then moving on to the right back / right wing, I think the best way to play is the 4-3-3. Would you agree, or do you think the 5-3-2 is the way to go?
I don't know. I like the 5-3-2 because we don't have a lot of players in attack. It's just the way they play it is just so bad. It's just so bad. But if you do it right, then why not do it? We have a lot of good defenders. We don't have a lot of good attackers. So it does make sense to do it. Of course, against Scotland, against Austria, Ukraine, and Macedonia, playing with five defenders may seem defensively, but it can be very attacking in practice. Look at Atalanta, for example. I do like it, but the players don't like it, I think. And the way they are playing it now, it's just ugly and very, very bad, very poor.
I think also...
So maybe just to be sure, they should play 4-3-3. But I like the idea of it.
I think he should have selected... I think if you look back at the selection, I think Promes should be out. And I think Gakpo should be out. I think you should get Karstorp in.
Yeah.
And then El Ghazi...
Yeah.
Or Groeneveld, who I think anyone has spoken about in the Dutch media, plays for Bournemouth, scored 2 goals at Wembley in the final against Swansea in the semi-finals. And it's got 15 goals and 7 assists, whereas Gakpo has got 6 assists and 6 goals and 2 assists for PSV. So it's always like, if you see someone play a lot, obviously Gakpo was injured for quite some time. But then, you know, Bale doesn't get in because he hasn't been playing that much. But Gakpo does, and whereas, you know, you got a young midfielder or left winger in Groeneveld, who's been very solid, I think. He could definitely be looking elsewhere. And I think El Ghazi, 10 goals in the Premier League is nothing to, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, you scored 10, okay, that's fine. But someone in the Eredivisie who scored twice or six times, it's like, oh, this man has got so much potential.
No, I would have called up El Ghazi and Karsdorp instead of Promes and Gakpo, definitely. Especially, he calls up Promes in case he wants to play 5-3-2. But Karsdorp plays in a 5-3-2 or like 3-4-3 in Italy at Roma. And Promes hasn't been playing a lot this year. And when he played, he was shit. So if you want to play 5-3-2, it makes sense to call up Karsdorp because Dumfries is shit.
Hartebur.
Yeah, but Hartebur's injured.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He called off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they should be playing 4-3-3 just because they haven't played 5-3-2 enough.
Yeah, and Dumfries is a good right back. He's very similar to Getrada, that he doesn't have that end product when it comes to attacking, right? It's always like he's like a train. He just goes, but then there's no like thought process behind it. You know, he just runs and runs and runs. But it's not like, you know, like you have your Trippiers, for example, like England are stacked with the fullbacks, especially right back, right? You got like Trippier and Trent Alexander-Arnold, who obviously isn't going due to his injury, but they have good, you know, crossing. Whereas like the Netherlands don't
very
have that.
Technical players.
Yeah. And I think Promes, I don't think Promes is good defensively, so I don't see the point in playing 5-3-2 when you're playing all the big sides, because then you want a defensive right back, so to speak. And then against the smaller sides, you want to play 4-3-3 because Berghuis is better than Promes. So Promes is just there for what?
I don't know.
Reason. This just doesn't add up.
It's just embarrassing to call him up, in my opinion.
And you're going to play 5-3-2.
He was so shit this season. And then you call him up instead of
El Ghazi,
so many players.
Yeah. And then you're gonna play 5-3-2 against North Macedonia and have Promes play that game. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem...
doesn't make sense.
No.
To me. No.
And then, all right. Anyways, then we have the left wing, which the left wing back or the left wing. If we're playing a five at the back, I think it's Vandal. Right?
Yeah, probably.
He's been solid as well. I think it'd be a matter of time till Malatia maybe joins as well as a more defensive left back. So you have two options. And then the three centre backs, obviously Blind, I would say, De Vrij and De Ligt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's solid.
I think if you're playing the three, and I think if you're playing the two, I think De Ligt and De Vrij, or maybe Blind and De Ligt.
I think if you're playing with two center backs, then I would put Blind as a left back.
As a left back?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's so slow.
He's slow, but he's so smart.
Yeah, true. That's why
I mean, if he plays against Mbappe, then he will be in trouble, but. The whole of the Netherlands will be in trouble anyway. Then no, I think I'll play in left back. Yeah, I mean Ronald Koeman did it as well.
Yeah,
he always played Blind at left back.
Yeah, wasn't that a good fit?
It was.
I mean, I think Ake is. Even
I mean, that's why I like the idea of 5-3-2 because you can play both Wijndal and Blind, and you can play all three centre backs: Blind, De Ligt, De Vrij.
Yeah, so and Ake potentially.
Exactly.
Ake as a left centre back. Who's obviously a bit quicker if you're facing maybe bigger or, like the bigger opponents at the Euros.
Well, it doesn't make sense to put Blind, De Ligt or De Vrij on the bench.
No.
They're actually, all of them are too good.
Imagine if we had Van Dijk as well.
Yeah, exactly.
A bit like England in the right-back position with the centre-backs. But yeah, luckily for us, we can have two of them or three even starting. And then you can always move Blind or Ake onto the left. Because I don't think Wijndal's that strong defensively. Then moving on to the centre mids. We've got three of them. I think it's Frenkie de Jong, Wijnaldum, and...
it will be either De Roon or Klaas or Gravenberg.
Yeah, I'll probably go for Gravenberg.
Against the worst teams, like Macedonia and Ukraine. Yeah, maybe start Gravenberg. Against maybe Austria or a more difficult team, start De Roon.
Yeah.
To be more solid.
But I mean, that seems a bit like De Roon seems to be like the Kante, but I've never actually seen him perform like him, you know. Even though, you know, Kante is Kante, but you know, he's always that defensive midfielder, but I never see him actually like tackle like five tackles a game or even three. So it's always like, does he actually, are we just like in this dream that he does this? But, you know, you never focus on De Roon. You never watch the lens and focus on De Roon. So you're just like, you're just taking his word, isn't it? You're just like.
I think just because you don't really see it. When you watch a football game, he won't be in the highlights. He won't do anything spectacular.
Yeah.
But I think he's solid. And I think against tough teams, I would play him.
Yeah. But then I would play him centrally, I think. And I would play Dumfries. At right wing back. I guess a tough team. I don't know. I'd stick to 4-3-3 personally.
I don't know what I would do. I don't even know if I would play Dumfries. Well, I mean.
So yeah, I think we've got Koopmeiners, obviously, but doesn't really get into the team. I don't think he's too meh, really, isn't he? He's always safe.
I think we have too many options.
You got the top two, which was Wijnaldum and De Jong, and then you got the sub top,
De Roon, Gravenberg.
De Roon, Gravenberg, Klaas, and then you got the mediocres like Koopmeiners and who else? Do you know
Van der Beek?
Van der Beek, yeah, those players that don't.
I think Van der Beek won't be playing many minutes. And Koopmeiners, nah,
shouldn't either.
Neither.
No, I think. Gravenberg has surpassed him, so I don't think he will get a shot. Then if you're playing the 5-3-2, obviously, which we've been talking about, then the two attackers will be Weghorst and Depay.
Yeah, or Malen and Depay. Yeah, Malen, we haven't mentioned him yet, but his stats were very good this season. He is very quick. He's a good player. I mean, he played more games in the Dutch team than Weghorst. The players know him better. He's quick. Maybe he and Ian Memphis are a good couple.
I think that's what you have to go for, really, because if you look at you know, when Van Gaal played, you had Robben and Memphis, two quick strikers, not one strong, or not, I don't think Van Persie didn't really play in that formation. But you had, you know, you had your, I guess, Chile, for example, you had Robben. And Memphis, just quick strikers that you can
pass the ball through. After Van Persie got subbed off.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you should do that, because if you just play the long ball to Weghorst to hold it up, you know, you take so much pace out of the attack, and then you have to rely on Dumfries and Wijndal to create on the left and the right wings. So that wouldn't personally be my option, because also the crossing isn't ideal, okay? So, I mean, the only good crossers we have is, I think, Berghuis is a good crosser.
Memphis, well, he won't be playing.
He won't be playing. No, he won't be playing. So there's no use, really, in my eyes, for Weghorst.
I mean, it makes more sense to put him in the squad if you play with three attackers. You play Memphis on the left, Berghuis on the right, and they can cross it in, or they can pass it through the fullbacks who can cross it.
Yeah, I think that's the best option. I mean, I think the left back is. I mean, you could say Van Arnold. I think he played solid as well against. It's just okay, isn't he? He plays in the Premier League as well, but we seem to like people that play in the Eredivisie more than the people that play in the Premier League.
Even though it's a Dutch thing.
Yeah, it's a Dutch thing. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
We like our own players.
Yeah, I mean, if Wijnaldum you know, wasn't as good as he is, you know, you'd be like Donny van de Beek.
Yeah.
Even though you know, Donny van de Beek isn't getting the minutes, but still, you know, when Klaassen was, for example, playing at Everton. You know, it was like, yeah, we're not selecting him. Well, Gazi now, 10 goals. We're not selecting him.
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
And then even like the right back position, all of our good right backs play outside of, you know, the Eredivisie. And then you're selecting a player from the Eredivisie when you're playing a system, or you're debating on whether to play a system. And then I looked at the stats as well for Karstorp. We had like 6 more assists than Dumfries. We had 6 assists and like 2 goals compared to Dumfries's like 3 assists, so
it's a shame. I would have liked to see Karsdorp in the team.
I think he's also
in a 5-3-2, obviously.
He's got that
you know, that firepower, really, isn't it? Yeah. It's like he wants to win. I think against Ajax.
Yeah, I mean, Dumfries has the power too, but he doesn't have the quality, the technique.
It just looks so like slump. So,
and he's always angry.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the same frown as our coach, Frank de Boer.
Yeah.
Always looking angry. But where do you think we'll finish, first of all? I think I released a video today where predicting where we'd finish. But I said we'd finish first. Now, this is because we have an easy group stage. Let's hope so, touch wood. And then we face either Denmark, or we face, if we finish first, we face the third team placed teams.
Okay.
And I was predicting that Germany will not qualify to the next round. So I said Germany to finish fourth. But you have to watch the whole video on YouTube if you want to know. But yeah, so Holland have two big games against like Italy and Portugal, or Italy and England, and you know, whatever whoever goes through. But then they have got two easy games, first of all, against like Slovakia, Denmark, those kind of teams. So I think they can make it to the semi-final, and then, you know, you never know. Big teams.
Yeah, Holland, I think
thrive.
We do have the quality to make it to the semi-finals. I don't think we have the form and the confidence to make it to the semi-finals. I wouldn't be surprised if we won't even finish first in our group.
I kind of hope we don't. I hope it goes to shit and then we can sack Frank de Boer. Because if we win,
I don't want Frank de Boer to go to Qatar next year.
No, exactly. And you know, it's like, okay, you kind of want to do bad so that he has to leave, but you kind of want to do good because it's your nation. It's like your pride.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a mix of two feelings. But if I had to choose, we would win it, and then you'd be like, you know, who else was it? Like Ranieri won the Premier League, got sacked. So it is possible. Yeah. I think it happened a couple of times. I've got something in my head which reminded me of this, where someone did very well and then got sacked.
Yeah.
I think the Chelsea manager, what was his name?
Conte.
Yeah, Conte obviously won the Premier League as well, and he had the one that won the Champions League in 2012.
Matteo.
Yeah, Matteo got sacked afterwards as well.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen. So I hope that happens.
I don't think the players like Frank de Boer very much, especially with his communication right now and the things he says during press conferences.
But we do play three games at home with 12,500 fans, 16,500.
Also, did you see Matthijs de Ligt's interview after the game? He prefers 4-3-3.
Yeah.
You know, those are all just signals, and it's not very good in a group, the feeling, the confidence, the atmosphere. And I think the players among each other, yes, they are good. But with the coach, I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I don't think that, you know, like you saw with Koeman, really transformed that team from, you know, because it was like 4-8 years without going into a European tournament to then establishing, you know, doing well for a final in the UEFA Nations League, which some people say, that doesn't really matter. But still, you know, final obviously lost to Portugal. And then you did very well. You beat France 2-0 in the UEFA Nations League.
Beat Germany
as well. So the big teams we can do well against. We beat England in the Nations League as well, I think 3-2.
And that makes it even weirder to see the Dutch team now. Like, the only thing that's different is that we have Frank de Boer instead of Koeman. And of course, no Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
But like, that's the only thing. And somehow everyone plays
shit. No Babel. It's Babel. We're missing Babel here.
That's it.
And Strootman.
Yeah. Babel and Strootman.
No, but in all seriousness, I think you're right. I think it's lacking like the joy.
It's weird how much you see the influence of a trainer. Some people doubt the influence that a coach might have. But I think this shows how much influence Ronald Koeman had compared to Frank de Boer.
And it's also that he left, and then like you have the Memphis who think, I want to play striker because, you know, I play good in striker, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, you get told where to play. Like, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, but at the same time, why not play your best attacker the position that he wants to play?
Yeah.
Koeman always played him as a center forward, as a striker.
Exactly. But then you have those two conflicts, right? Because then you're like, oh, I don't want to play left wing because he's a baby, right? Like, I don't want to do this. And then he's like, but I'll play there because like I'm vice captain. You know, he's so important to the Dutch national team.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, you can see him not trying as much. And obviously, Berghuis wasn't really playing in the time of Koeman. I think it was more Bergwijn, who was very good at the time. You know, the pace, which I think, again, Bergwijn should have been picked if you're picking Donny van de Beek. I think Bergwijn has probably been better, and it provides, again, an option for the right wing. So, Yeah, overall, I think everyone in the Netherlands is a bit confused on what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, that's a great summary.
So just before we end off, your prediction, where will Holland finish?
Quarterfinals if we're... No, that's the maximum that we have. Quarterfinals.
The quarterfinals.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm quite pessimistic.
Pessimistic. I'm optimistic.
I was confident with Ronald Koeman, and now I'm not. I'm changed completely.
Well, I think we're going to do better than Germany. I don't think it gets much worse than Germany.
Who knows?
I mean, if Germany go and win it now, I look like a fool. But I think quarterfinal, semifinals is realistic. But when I looked at the program, when I did it on my laptop for the video, it looked all like, so we could do this, you know. And then, yeah. But the winner will be?
France.
I disagree. I think it will be Italy.
France or Portugal?
Yeah, I thought so too. But I'm gonna say Italy or Holland to win it.
Okay.
Because that's who I predicted in the final. Or England maybe even. But I think it's the same with England. You got the manager that is just meh, you know. Like, it's not really someone.
And they
there.
Always disappoint every year, every tournament. It's coming home. They have a great team. And then in the end, they somehow always, how do you call it?
Like, lose to the media. They lose to the mediocre sides or something.
Yeah.
A bit so like Holland. It's very similar to Holland.
Yeah, but I mean, we never have like this favorites role. And every year, everyone's like,
we don't have the best striker in the world. And we don't have the best right winger in the world. Yeah. We don't have the four right backs, best right backs in the world. Or, you know, what like four very solid right backs. You don't have the squad depth that England do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, England do this one. But it could be a chance that England do actually, because they play at Wembley, the semi-final and the final. So, in favour of England, if they make it that far. But again, England love to disappoint.
Yeah.
It's like if they play like...
I mean, Portugal. They have the quality to do it. But what are you saying? They love to disappoint for some reason.
Exactly. Well, on that bombshell, I think it's time to end. Make sure you check out JMXS Beats as well, our editor on YouTube. Very solid lo-fi beats. If you're studying, I think it's very good to listen to. Gets you into the focus aspect of your studying, because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be listening to music that doesn't really make you focused. So like I said, yeah, go follow him. And thank you very much for listening, Milan. It was an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Youth Academy.
It was an honor to be here.
Youth Academy product from Feyenoord, so always good. Support Ajax. Does make sense.
That's good.
Anyways, goodbye.